Debut for Purpose. I am Derry Cox, author of The Scars I Come With, The Child Within, and The Awakening Poet. All of these books are available wherever books are sold. Thank you all for your support and love. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. Today, I want to talk about Thou Shall Have No Other Gods Before Me. This is one of the clearest commandments, but it didn't take long for it to break, right? And you might ask, like, why does this still matter today? Well, I'm not sure where you're looking and what you're not doing. But there's so many things that are going on that it was clear when I thought about this and like what was I going to record or what was going to be my episode this week. Definitely found my way to this right here. And so what I know is that when someone issues a decree, right, we have to assume that the person or the entity has the authority to make it. People recognize and submit to leaders who rule their country. Monarchs proclaim edicts. Legislators declare and enforce government rules. Dictators pronounce self-empowering policies. What of our sovereign Lord God? Does he command just or unfair commandments? When he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses for his people, God began by stating who he is. He said, I am the Lord your God. And you can see in Exodus 20 verses 2, because of who he is, his first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Right? None whatsoever. In Exodus 20 verses 3 and Deuteronomy 5 verses 7, you can see that they both say, you shall have no other gods before me. The terminology thou shalt is an example of the King James Bible's language. It reflects the English of the 17th century with a poetic cadence and beautiful language. So what kind of gods is Exodus 20 verses 3 talking about? When we look at the context of Exodus 20 to 30, we see that when Moses was with the Lord on Mount Sinai, he was immersed in a holy atmosphere. God said to Moses and consequently to the people, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Exodus 19 verses 5. So do you see the condition in this promise? If the people obey, if the people keep God's covenant. When Moses presented God's charge to the people, they declared that they would obey all his commands. And God ordered Moses to consecrate the people, and he would come on the third day and speak to them. He was wrapped in a cloud so the people would hear his commands yet not see him. Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Exodus 18 verses 19. One aspect of God's holiness is pictured as fire. It's no wonder the smoke enveloped his presence and the mountain quaked. In the presence of the people, God gave his 10 commandments. In Exodus 20, verses 23, God explicitly tells them not to make any gods to be with him or be grouped with him, gods of silver and gold. When God tells them they will occupy the promised land, he tells them not to bow to other people's gods or serve them. Instead, they were to eradicate the land of those other gods. After God spoke, Moses sprinkled the blood of sacrificed oxen on partner over the people to consecrate them. You can see that in Exodus 24 verses 8. Moses then went up to the mountain at God's behest to receive the stone tablets. We have read the first commandment. It did not take the Israelites long to break it. While Moses was with God for 40 days, the people grew impatient and demanded Aaron fashion God for them to worship and who would go before them. Exodus 32 verses 1. It was a god made in the form of a golden calf. No matter what form, a god other than Jehovah God is always in opposition to the Almighty God, the great I Am. He places supreme importance on his position as Lord. Anything that usurps God's position as our servant and Lord can be deemed a god. These gods are created images fashioned by human will and can take the forms of people, of locations, of passions, including wealth, prosperity, health, love, and things. A god is an idol we lift above our creator God. So anything above, we live above God is considered an idol. So why is this a problem? As believers, we are betrothed to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. We are his bride and are to be presented to him as pure and spotless at the culmination of history when we are in glory. Ephesians 5 verses 25 to 32 and Revelation 17 to 7 tells us we will be the bride at the wedding ceremony of the Lamb. The question is, how can we worship another God, idol, and remain spotless and pure? The answer is, we cannot. God equates worshiping other gods with adultery, and this imagery is one we see throughout the Bible. Leviticus 20 verses 5 declares that following a god is whoredom. Ezekiel 23 verses 35 tells us that because the people had forgotten God and cast him aside, they would have to bear the consequences of their lewdness. In Jeremiah 3:9, the Lord calls the people out for their adultery with stone and brick. Isaiah 44 gives us a stark look at the disobedient, sinful, and futile act of bowing down to a lifeless God. The first five verses declare this was all God's chosen people. In verses 6 through 8, God with strong words remind the people who he is, the Lord of hosts, and there is no other beside him. Verses 9 through 20 proclaim the folly of adultery. The narrative contains an account of a man who would chop down some wood to build a fire for cooking. After he uses the wood for a good purpose, he carves an idol and he bows it. He prays to it and he says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." Isaiah 44:17. God is the Redeemer. That title will never belong to a block of wood or any other created material. When we bow to a God, we give glory to that God. God will share his glory with no others. Isaiah 48 verses 11, the act of worshiping other God is a heinous act. It is so heinous that in Deuteronomy 8 verses 19, Moses says, "And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish." In the New Testament, Romans 1 verses 18 to 32 is an indictment against those who exchange the glory of the immortal God for images, resemble mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The scriptures are clear regarding a believer's, a Christian position as holy. 1 Peter 1 verses 16 and righteous. Romans 8 verses 4. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19. How can we dishonor him and go after other gods? We are made in his image and we are to reflect Jesus as an act of worship. If we defile ourselves by worshiping gods, it's as if we are spitting in God's face and saying, "I know best." So what kind of other gods do we worship today? Sadly, the list is almost endless. We worship self and physical appearance. The sin of pride causes us to look to ourselves as the end. A prideful person will claim independence from God by looking to the self as to the answer to an ill, to all ills. The provider of all good, being a good steward of our bodies is good. The obsession of the best body is a god. Wealth, the love of money is pervasive, and we bow down to its perceived power to keep us comfortable. Love, if we love a person more than God, they are an idol. Comfort, on the heels of wealth, comfort follows. We don't want to be uncomfortable, so we bow to things and people who promise a problem-free life. The devil, yes, people worship him directly. It's an act of defiance against our true and holy God. Family. Family is good, but God always comes first. Technology. How often do we see people bow down before their cell phones? Status. This includes vocation, education, achievements, lifestyle, vacations, who we know. And then there's knowledge. All manner of degrees give a person prideful titles. A person, movie stars, famous writers, musicians, even pastors. Identity. How we define ourselves and try to place ourselves above others and have them look up to us. The list is endless. And that doesn't cover all people or all the kinds of idolatry that humanity is capable of. Us as believers should be aware of the insidious ways the evil one infiltrates our lifestyles and culture to trick us into adultery. Even good things can become gods, idols, when we place them above God. Paul writes in Galatians 5 verses 19 to 21. There's a list there. It will steer you away from the ugly fruit adultery bears. We must immerse ourselves in God's word, pray regularly, connect with other believers, and clothe ourselves with God's full armor. Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. Another list of musts is the fruit of spirit. Galatians 5 verses 22 to 23. And with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls and strength, love God and then love others. I hope I was a blessing to you today. I thank you for continuing to support and to listen and to share the podcast. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I love you all for all your prayers. As always, I will tell you to continue to stay at the feet of God, continue to build on a personal relationship with Him. It is very, very important, more important now than ever. I hope you have an amazing week and continue to stay prayed up. Okay? Love you all. Until next time. I am Derry Cox, and you were listening to As Far As To Your Beautiful Purpose.